Shell V-Power Nitro Plus fuels every drive from Lake Erie to the Ohio River with a fuel like no other. Shell's premium gasoline provides engine protection even in extreme heat, like what you're experiencing today. That means more power when you need it and more performance with every drive. Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. More power, more performance. Chances are you're not far from a Shell station. Download the Shell app to find it. Formulation unique to Shell. With continuous use of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. Shell V-Power Nitro Plus gasoline compared to lower octane minimum detergent gasoline. Actual effects and benefits may vary according to vehicle type, driving conditions, and driving style. See shell.us/more for more information.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Modo Casino. Modo's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Modo, America's social casino. Play for free on Modo.us.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Brewski, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Here we are, 12 days into the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie, and no suspects, no person of interest, no vehicles identified. The sheriff admitted he released the crime scene too early. His thermal imaging aircraft sat grounded for 5 hours in the very important first moments of this disappearance because he'd reassigned the pilot to patrol as punishment. He declared the doorbell footage permanently unrecoverable. Then the FBI produced it 10 days later. His own deputies union is criticizing him publicly. The Guthrie family is communicating directly with the alleged kidnappers. That's the accusation. That's what the thought process might be, with the possibility of the with the ransom notes. That's turned out to be bunk. Eric Faddis is here with us, former prosecutor and criminal defense attorney. The question isn't whether mistakes were made. The question is what those mistakes mean legally. Sheriff Nanos admitted his department released Nancy Guthrie's home as a crime scene too early and had returned days later for additional evidence. Just this morning, we saw a tent has now gone up over the porch 12 days later. When you're looking at this from a legal standpoint, from either a prosecution standpoint or a defense standpoint, what do you see in here, Eric?
What you're chiefly concerned about under these circumstances is contamination of the scene. Look, this scene should have been completely sectioned off and should have remained that way while the investigation was pending. Instead, it was released. You know, there are reporters, Brian Enten from News Nation is, you know, seen just strolling around the front door where the kidnapper was, taking video and seeing red droplets of what appears to be blood. The concern becomes, if they do find any significant evidence, especially in that area, will it even be admissible due to the possible contamination and tainting of this scene?
Will it? I mean, I guess that's the question. Will any of that? I mean, the whole thing, it's a circus. I mean, when you see the videos of it, it's just, it's crawling with reporters. There's people who, the locals are there. Everybody's got their camera phones out. Everybody's watching and walking around. Everybody's taping everybody, doing everything. It's chaos. And a scene where very minute little details are what are likely going to provide valuable information, hopefully leading to a suspect or some pieces of information. This scene seems completely out of control. When you're looking at this, what's your take?
Yeah, Tony. I mean, one example that comes to mind is, let's say at some point they find a hair in that front entrance area right outside the front door, and they link it to somebody whom they think is a suspect. Well, that suspect is going to file motions based on authenticity, based on chain of custody, to essentially say, hey, someone could have, you know, brought that hair on their person and it fell off of them into the scene, or it could have been planted there, or some other explanation. It's just not a secure scene from which we can derive reliable evidence and reliable conclusions. That's what defense is going to argue. And they may have a significant argument if anything is even recovered from this immediate scene, which I haven't heard of anything terribly suspicious or prejudicial to anybody so far. They don't even have a suspect.
Do you think this is an anomaly that these crime scenes are so handled so poorly, or is this just kind of par for the course? And it happened to be this case that got a lot of attention and we're staring at it going, well, this is a debacle, but it happens all over the United States. I don't have a feel for how does this go in other jurisdictions?
Stacey, it really varies wildly among jurisdictions. You know, some of the larger jurisdictions have, you know, really stringent protocols in place in terms of crime scene investigation. You know, Denver Police Department where I practice in Colorado usually is pretty good about this kind of thing. Whereas if you go to perhaps a more rural county, a county that doesn't do a ton of homicides like Chicago or something, they might not take the same measures, and that might lead to problems for the prosecution.
This sheriff has been criticized literally for decades for how he's handled so many different things. This just seems to be another in a very long line of issues that people have had with him. One of the big issues here that I don't think a lot of people are talking about is the thermal imaging aircraft that they have access to, a Cessna capable of detecting body heat across miles of desert. It's important when you're in this part of the country to have a tool like that, and they do. And it sat on the ground for approximately 5 hours after Nancy was reported missing. The pilot had been reassigned to street patrol months earlier as punishment following a dispute with Sheriff Nanos. The deputies union opposed the transfer. The pilot personally appealed. Nancy was reported missing at noon. The plane got up at about 5 o'clock. It's 5 hours. It may not seem like a long time, but it is a long time when somebody is missing, and those hours could be the difference between life and death, and finding someone alive in the desert or not. She's an 84-year-old woman in the Arizona heat. What's the legal way to that five-hour delay in deploying your best search asset when the delay traces directly to a personal decision by the sheriff, basically born out of ego?
Truly a head scratcher on that one, Tony, because look, within 5 hours, not only could the suspect and his victim have vacated the area, they could be on a plane outside the country by that point. You know, these crucial minutes after receiving such an alarming accusation are so important. And, it seems like there is more that could have been done. I just wonder if this police department was not used to such a high profile, large scale investigation such as this. And here we are with a number of missteps and still no suspect 12 days later. Things are looking a little grim.
Yeah.
You know, in the world outside of law enforcement, it's easier to make a distinction between a mistake or someone being negligent, and that can sometimes be litigated if someone is being negligent. It gets to be a little more dicey when it comes to law enforcement if you're going to try and point that out or prosecute it for that matter. What's the line here in something like this? When we go back and look at this, when people go back and look at this retrospectively, at what point do specific documented decisions by specific officials cross from bad judgment into something that a court would recognize as actionable negligence?
You know, within the context of law enforcement, that's difficult because law enforcement often has what's called qualified immunity in most states, whereby if they screw up, if they make a mistake, they have a big oops, oftentimes that you can't even bring a civil claim on that basis. Now, if it's gross negligence, if it becomes reckless, the likelihood of bringing some kind of action increases. But when we're talking about a simple mistake as compared to what could be like a personal dispute that gave rise to a critical error in a kidnapping and, you know, God forbid, homicide investigation. The stakes are incredibly high. And I'm sure the family is in a difficult predicament, too, because they want to work with law enforcement.
Yeah.
But they also want to be vigilant about how this investigation's going. And it's hard to do both.
I don't think anybody wants to be sitting here criticizing the hell out of the investigators during the investigation. But it's like at some point, somebody's going to raise their hand and go, this is not looking good, guys. I don't know what needs to be fixed here, but the current authority that's in power on this, and I know we have the FBI involved, but we still have the Sheriff's Department involved. The lack of faith, I think a lot of people have in it is, it's mounting. Before all of this, there already was a vote of no confidence in the sheriff by his own union for other issues. You don't necessarily want to switch course or anything midway through an investigation, but damn, people just want to get to the bottom of this and not constantly be dealing with hiccup after hiccup. I mean, we for example, 12 days in, suddenly there's a tent around the porch. It doesn't, like, what is that protecting at this point?
Feels like performance, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, and how much of this is now just getting performative? I think that's a good word, because, oh gosh, the eyes of the world are on us. We're figuring this out 12 days in. Maybe we should start acting somewhat competent. I don't know. I mean, is it one of these things where within the confines of the sheriff's department, it's kind of an echo chamber? I don't know. I'm sure there's good investigators here on this that are dealing with some that are not so. Is it just kind of being flying too close to the sun and you don't realize how hot it is until you back away?
You know, to Stacey's point, I think there's a ton of pressure on law enforcement right now. It's been 12 days. This 84-year-old woman is nowhere to be found, and she has serious health issues. You know, I think they want to show the public, hey, we're doing stuff. We're putting up this tent. We're, we found these gloves nearby, stuff like that, which is hopefully progress. That being said, look at the Ring video or the doorbell camera. That's something that should have been obtained in the first or second day through a search warrant, production of records request to Google. It wasn't until, my understanding is, the FBI got involved that they finally procured that video numerous days later after a lot of critical time had gone by.
Yeah, I mean, and let's talk about that video. Because initially the report from the sheriff's department was, we've done everything. I mean, it wasn't just like, yeah, there's nothing there. It's, we've exhausted our options. I don't remember the exact terminology, but it was something to the extent where everybody went, oh, okay, well, they looked. They did what they could do, and they looked, and then the FBI suddenly, 10 days later, surprise everybody, we have this video. Great. I mean, that's lovely, but I think there's going to be a lot of question and probably not a lot of people wanting to give the accurate answer as to why it took 10 days. I've heard a lot of placating on this from a lot of people who really don't know the answer as to how this happened, because they're being thrown the question, on live television. A lot of FBI experts, a lot of this or a lot of that. And I've heard so many, just analogy. It was a needle in a haystack the size of a football field. Is where are you getting that? Are you just pulling that out of your ass because you're being asked this question? What really is the reality of how difficult it was to get this? Because I'm just not buying it was a needle in a stack in a football field, because if it was, you wouldn't have fucking found it.
I feel you. I've been on major crimes call as a prosecutor, where if something happens, even in the middle of the night, they call you, you start working on it on the lawyer side, and you assess the scene, and you usually seek search warrants and production of records requests immediately. If there's some video surveillance system, you need that ASAP, and you send it to a judge. There's an on-call judge, typically, even at 2 a.m. They'll look at it, and they'll review it, and if they grant it, you immediately go to the provider, which for the Nest cameras is Google. You have an urgent legal request. Usually they turn that over within a day or so. And so it's really kind of puzzling why it took 10 days to get here. I've had numerous homicide cases where they've got those videos in the first and second day.
Oh, so there's no excuse here. I mean, this is just absolute negligence at this point.
Could be. Feels yeah. Like it's hard to find another explanation.
I've recovered data that's been deleted off of a hard drive before. There's programs you can do to do it. And for something like this, the Nest people know how to do it. This isn't like it was lost somewhere in the ether and they had to go look at every single doorbell in the country. No. And go, oh, there it is. That's the one. I mean, it's just not that. So, and I don't think the people that hold the true answer to the question here of why it took so long are going to give us a real straight answer, because I think somewhere along the line, it means somebody dropped the ball. I mean, the sheriff has already admitted flat out, he dropped the ball at the beginning, that things could have gone a little bit better. It took a while to get the FBI involved. It took for a while for him to pull the levers that he needed to pull to get the added support into this investigation. And I guess, you know, unfortunately, it's a lot of coulda, shoulda, wouldas. And at the end of the day, we still don't have any answers here as to, you know, where exactly Nancy Guthrie is. Todd, I'm seeing here in the chat that there might be another video that TMZ might have right now. If you could take a look for that, if it is, maybe we'll take a look at that here in a few minutes.
Yeah, I've been looking for it so far, haven't come up with it. So
Okay. The Guthrie family has requested a private security at Nancy's home. They've released the four escalation videos. Obviously, authorities are still canvassing the area and looking at everything. And then Domino's Pizza showed up the other day and walked right up to Nancy's door. Again, this is, and then the Pima County Sheriff's is like, hey, we shouldn't have to tell you this, but don't order food to Nancy's house. Oh, here's a thought. How about you secure the crime scene? Huh? Just, I don't know. Maybe don't let people go up to the house. That's kind of your job. That's like the one task you have right now in terms of securing the crime scene that you've been being criticized about left and right. And that still seems to be a bridge too far. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this where it's this chaotic and the Domino's guy gets to the door of the crime scene and nobody stops them despite there being officers everywhere?
Sadly, I have. And it's certainly the exception, but it happens more than people would think. And it becomes a problem, because what if this kidnapper left something behind, a hair or some biological material, spit, something like that, some piece of clothing fell off? What if there was a DNA transfer to some part of the front door or that region? Mm-hmm. But then if you got, you know, 10 other people who have been in that area in a subsequent to that, you know, who's to say how such material got there and what its legal weight could be in any future prosecution?
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download
download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.